When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. Also a Mayo Monday. That's Gerard Mayo postgame, and we'll talk to him further about that coming up at 9. Curtis, you didn't necessarily like that explanation from Gerard Mayo.
No, I just felt like such an unbelievable moment. Let's see if we can win or lose it. You don't have the players on the field. You're going to risk more injury in another quarter of football. And to me, I know they were out of timeouts, right? So they had called two timeouts on the drive of the Titans, so they didn't have a time to sort of diagram something, and it was kind of flying by the seat of their pants, so it's not like they had – they were first and goal at the one, and they knew they were going to inevitably score, so they had a period of time where they could think up a couple, you know, what their best two-point play was given the matchup. But it's just – I don't think there's a soul in our listening audience that would be ripping Mayo if they went for two and lost.
I'm sure there would be. To me, it was just a confusing answer by him because he has been so forthcoming, a bit too forthcoming when answering questions. So to say that's a great question, I understand it, but I'm not going to get into that right now. It's like, well, the game just ended. This is when you're going to get into it. Of course you're going to be asked about this and just be honest with what happened there.
Right, but he's coaching real football. We're sitting here wanting him to coach Madden football.
Yes.
Dan Campbell, if that's Lions.
Dan Campbell's style.
But, there's a bunch of coaches knowing if they score, they would go for two.
Let me ask this question. Would the majority of the coaches in that situation say, let's kick the extra point, let's see if we can go to overtime, let's see if we can win the coin toss, we have a chance to win it there, put ourselves in a better position?
That's a safe way.
I think that's the majority of coaches.
See, I disagree. I think more than 50% of the coaches would just go for two and win the game.
So then why haven't we seen that before?
We saw it multiple times last year.
Why don't we see it more often then if it's 50% of the time? You see plenty of games like that where...
It's not a common ending that you score with no time on the clock to tie a game.
No, but you have scored with, let's call it, 30 seconds left in a game or something like that. You could go for two to win the game versus... kicking the extra
point. But 30 seconds is even different because if you kick it out of bounds and they get the ball at the 30 and they have a couple plays to get into field goal range anyway, so it's not a guaranteed win.
But I'm saying that is we've seen games where a lot of teams are playing for the overtime where it comes to that point, whether it's a 30 seconds on the clock, 15 seconds, whatever it is. My point is if that's something that you know when you get to an overtime potential situation – we would see more teams going for two to try to win football.
Well, I think you have to look at the situation that the teams are in.
And I think a
win or a loss here doesn't really matter much to the New England Patriots. So that's why when you said it this morning, start of the show, Curtis, I agree with you. Like, why not go for it? Like, as I said earlier, big analytics guy here.
Huge.
I think the odds are better that you get that two-point conversion than you go and win in overtime. I think the odds are more in your favor on that.
And Courtney's point about what he said after the game, I have a concern that it's not up to him.
Right.
Yeah.
That is really, like... which is such a backwards way to build.
Yeah, but there's no way. Then who would be saying?
I don't know.
That answer to me, I felt the same exact way because he wants to get on the same page with whoever's idea or whoever's call it was to make sure everybody's giving the same narrative.
So there's a red phone up in the booth.
No, I think that Van Pelt is the head coach of the offense.
Yeah, but I get that. But if Mayo wanted to go for two, I think Mayo would have the right to say, "All right,
we'll
go
ask
for two."
Him.
We'll ask him, yeah. And we'll also say, mate.
You think he's going to say, oh, no, it's up to Van Pelt?
Of course not. But but the issue with what we're discussing is the absence of a timeout,
yep.
The way in which Drake May had been running around in that backfield, finally finding Stevenson for the touchdown, everybody to catch their breath,
right.
Get settled, get to the line, and score from the 3-yard line was probably difficult. And my guess is Van Pelt said to Gerard, if it is a back and forth, I think we're gassed. Let's get to overtime.
Do you have an issue with him running through his timeouts there, or he had?
No,
he
I actually liked it. I find that there's a lot of guys, like, just a different, you know, much different game. But in the AFC Championship in Kansas City, when the Patriots were going down in overtime to score and win the game, I felt like Andy Reid could have called a couple timeouts to try and reset his defense a little bit.
Yeah.
So I like what Mayo did. I thought the Titans coach was totally gutless. 4th and 2, kicking a field goal when a touchdown wins the game. I was like, does nobody want to win this thing? I was shocked.
All right, this is Coach, if he's still there, Shine. This Coach. Hey, Coach. Good
morning. Yes, I'm still here.
What's up?
Good morning. Obviously, I love the show. What you're talking about now is a more sexy question. I want to say that up front, whether to go for the win or overtime. But I'm begging you. I really am. I'm begging you to ask him the mindset in the first half. At the end of the half, with 2 minutes and 3 timeouts, you throw the ball to the left sideline twice to Bourne for nice gains. By the way, I couldn't even believe they were passing. I thought they would take a knee. Anyway, you get out of the shadow of your own goalpost. You're out on about your 40. The second pass to Bourne was only 9 yards, so you have 2nd and 1. I understand running up the middle and trying to make the first down. You don't make it, and then you literally watch the clock tick over 1:10, and you eventually run the ball without a timeout, still have 3 in the bank, and get stuffed again and punt. I don't understand. You start out aggressive in your own end throwing, right. And then you turtle up and let the clock run out. I just need you to ask him what the thinking is there.
Okay, we will.
Yeah, well, on 2nd and 1, I take a shot in that situation. I take a shot, and then on 3rd and 1, I run the football, or maybe I have a quick pass or play action. I use Drake May's legs to kind of give us a run-pass option, and I'm trying to score. At that point, it really didn't seem like they were trying to score because they went Coach is right. It was 2nd and 1. They went run, and then it's like, what was that all about? You know, when you can obviously go after some points.
That's been an issue all season, and Belichick has rightfully called it out with McAfee. The end of the half has been bizarre. We noted it last week against the Jets. It's just, I just don't think Alex Van Pelt has a position that he should have. And Gerard Mayo, when McVay went to the Rams and he was a young, offensive-minded coach who was there a little early, they had Wade Phillips, a brilliant defensive coach that took over the defense, took it off his plate, and he handled it and created a great defensive scheme. The Patriots, with Gerard Mayo, a defensive coach, a defensive player, with Alex Van Pelt and a rookie quarterback, just feels like a bad mix.
Yeah, I think that if they were going to look back, and hindsight being 2020, that they should have liked to add some sort of veteran advisory, somebody on the staff who had some years.
I thought that was McAdoo.
McAdoo's
role.
Is he still around?
Like, yeah, he's basically here for the mustache. Yeah, I mean, it is like, an amazing thing.
Yeah.
But he's
here because he's cheap. I mean, if we're going
to
be honest.
Well, I think there's a good question to ask Mayo. In that situation, 2nd and 1, are you saying to him, hey, let's take a shot here, or are you completely stepping away and allow him the ability?
He doesn't seem like he is, though. I mean,
we wouldn't know, like, on the headset if he said, let's take a shot at 2nd and 1 here. Let's try to get out of this half with some points.
This is Tom from Hall. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hey, guys, how you doing? 2-6, you absolutely 100% go for 2 in the win, especially after that play Drake made. Remember, our offense was running around. The defense was running around, too. So both groups are gassed. Who's going to suck up and either make the stop or win the game? I think that Pats, they weren't ready for it. Unless I'm going to help my coach Mayo, because 1,000% they should have went for 2% for 2 points. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully he learns from this. And now, like I said, if it's 6-2, all day you go to overtime. 2-6, you go up for 2 in the win.
Yep.
That I agree with, Curtis. I think I'm just giving the other side on why they maybe.
But Scheim is pointing out that a guy, you're pointing out a difference. And again, Gerard Mayo's a rookie. Mm-hmm. It's his first season as a head coach, so you make an allowance there. But he's talking about the mentality of a guy like Dan Campbell.
Right.
Versus a guy maybe like Gerard Mayo.
Right, but Dan Campbell's always been aggressive, right? That's his way of coaching.
But don't you want that?
You want it, but also sometimes it could come back to bite you in the butt.
And he was criticized before. It's like chicken or the egg. When Dan Campbell was overly aggressive and the Lions weren't as successful, he was a punchline.
Yeah.
And now that you have Goff and you have Amon St. Brown, you have...
It's a little bit easier to be aggressive.
I do think that right now, if we were sitting here today and they had gone for two yesterday and didn't get it, people would be criticizing Gerard Mayo for doing that as well. I'm not on the side of nobody would have been mad at Gerard Mayo if they went for two and didn't get it.
But don't you think Mayo could win the locker room by saying, "I just trusted our guys; they just had a great drive."
Yeah. Yeah. If he comes out and says, "You know," they go, "Why did you go for two?" Because I was confident that we could come away with it, and I want to be aggressive, and I think we have the talent to do that. I don't think anybody has an issue with that.
This is Chuck. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Great.
Good morning.
What's up?
Question. I drive to work every day. Listen to you guys. Wiggy, I remember you from East Boston High. My question is, if he would have went for two, everyone would have criticized Gerard Mayo. This man has been criticized from day one. Okay. Wiggy, I'll give you an example. You played in the NFL for the Patriots, correct?
Yep.
So, how much of what you learned in New England you could run at Brockton High? You can't do it because it's two different levels. Gerard Mayo played for Bill Belichick. Gerard Mayo knows football. Robert Kraft did not want to pay for players. He did not want to pay for an offensive coordinator. So now what you have is Alex Van Pelt, who's a first-year guy who may not know what he's doing. And you have Gerard Mayo, whose hands are tied because he doesn't have the players.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the personnel to do what he wants to do. And it really irks me because every day is Gerard Mayo can't do this. They got guys in the NFL who are coaches who are analytical guys and have no idea about football, no idea about the analytics. Yeah. And these guys don't get as criticized. You guys got to, Boston's got to cut this daggone narrative about this guy can't coach him. He is handcuffed people.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate it.
He's right.
I think early on there was a lot of anger because people were more mad about Bill not being here than Gerard. And I think there's a lot of people that are sort of wait and see. But the Patriots are 2-7, and have we gotten a single call in the last 2 weeks about wanting him fired?
No.
If you look on Twitch, if you look on the text line, there's a lot there.
I know,
there.
But people that exist in real life that actually have accountability.
I think after London, I think there were people who were like, you know, what's going on here?
That was the inflection point, and then the players came back.
I think they felt it here in the building.
Definitely.
Because there were some things that started to be whispered about second thoughts during the summer or whatever.
Right.
But
Bedard was wrong on that one, like he's mostly wrong.
But the call is right. Through the whole year, or since up until this point, 80% of the narrative is that Mayo's inexperienced, Mayo can't do this, Mayo can't do that. Like, that's been 80% of the narrative. And granted, let's understand that I get the Jacksonville game and the soft comment, but it's been prior to that, it was Mayo doesn't have enough experience. Like, that's anything anybody says is like, oh, he doesn't have enough experience. He doesn't have, and then my thing is like, well,
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The first-year coach that's hired doesn't have experience as being a head coach.
Right.
So, like, where is this whole – like, unless you're somebody who's coached in the NFL before, when you're a first-year head coach, guess what? You don't have experience, whether you were an offensive coordinator somewhere or not, because you didn't run a team.
Yeah, and I think the fact that it's been so different than it was also led people to question the approach, where you have a guy that was so successful for a generation, and you have a new campaign, a new coaching staff that's basically bragging that they're doing it 180 degrees from the way it was done. Patriots fans, I think, a lot of cases, rightly so, were like, well, it wasn't that bad here. They won a lot in that way. So I think that's been the case, but if they went for two and failed,
right,
my guess, I'm often wrong, would have been Alex Van Pelt critique more than Jerod Mayo. If he did like a toss to Stevenson,
yeah,
and he gets tripped up in the backfield, I don't think people are ripping Mayo as much as they're ripping Alex Van Pelt.
But you think that that decision is made by Alex Van Pelt and Alex Van Pelt alone?
In the moment, I didn't. When I heard Jerod Mayo in the post game, I thought about was when I was bombed trying to figure out to get my story straight about where we got the empties from.
Yeah. Like that says, good question, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Right. Yeah. What else would you talk about after the game?
Right. Yeah.
That's the only storyline.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of talking about it, Patriots are 2-7, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We will get Boomer Esiason's thoughts on that game yesterday for the Patriots and the rest of the NFL coming up at 8.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.